Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We'd like to welcome you to sacrament meeting today. It would be a fast and testimony meeting. I'm Brother Holland, and I will be conducting this meeting. President Anderson, sitting on the stand, will be presiding. By way of announcements, we would like to thank everyone that helped yesterday with managing George Stokes' funeral. We really appreciate all the effort that was put in preparing both buildings and in helping serve lunch, as well as in your attendance. We thank you very much for that. It was very well done. We will begin by singing hymn number 83, Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah, after which Austin Holland may give the opening prayer.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come together today as a congregation, so grateful for all the many blessings which Thou hast given us. We're very grateful for the beautiful snow which we have received, and we're grateful for the moisture. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come and worship in this building and to come together as a congregation to learn of Thee and of Thy plan for us. Please bless us with Thy Spirit today that we may be able to reflect on the blessings that we have in our life, that we may be able to reflect on the sacrifice of Thy Son, and that we can commit to do better. We pray that we may have the Spirit to serve and to help others, both in our ward and in all places that we go, as well as our ancestors, and that we can be blessed with a ability and desire to serve in the temple. We're grateful again for all of our many blessings, and we ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Parenting is both a rewarding and an eternal calling. By way of ward business, we have received the records of the following members, and we ask them to please stand as their names are called. Brother Todd Dawson, Sister Jennifer Dawson, Brett Dawson, who I think may be on a mission, Carly Dawson, Elizabeth Dawson, and Tate Dawson. All those who wish to welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heatheridge 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. Welcome. As mentioned earlier, today is our fast and testimony meeting, so I get the privilege of starting us out. The great news about that is that when you know that it's going to happen at least once every 3 months, you can prepare. For many of you, you're waiting for the Spirit to prompt you. That feeling you're feeling right now is the Spirit prompting you. So I will conclude quickly. Today I would like to bear my testimony and thankfulness for the plan of salvation. I am grateful for a Heavenly Father and for a Redeemer that has made it possible for me to come to this earth and to be tested and tried and to learn and to gather and to live by faith. I'm grateful for the many blessings which my Heavenly Father has given me in developing my faith and continues to help me. There are many things that I still must simply proceed in this life forward in faith that I do not have a pure knowledge of. But I am thankful for that. I am thankful for a plan that allows me to aspire and dream for an eternal family and to be able to move forward and to grow and to learn. I'm grateful for temples and for the wonderful things that we can be taught there and the Spirit that we can feel there. And I bear my testimony of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now turn the time over to you. We invite you as you come up to please tell us your name so that those that are listening to this later will be able to know who is speaking, as well as to just kindly remind some of us that are too old to remember your name, who it is that is speaking. And we ask that you conclude at 25 minutes past the hour. The time is now yours.
Thought if I got up here first, I wouldn't be emotional. This is fun because I have my daughter and my granddaughter here with us today, which is a rare occasion on a fast Sunday. So I thought it was a good opportunity for me to bear my testimony. Because I know the gospel is true. It's blessed my life in so many ways. and blessed my family's lives, and I know that Heavenly Father lives, and that Jesus is my Savior, and that He atoned for my sins. And I'm so grateful for that knowledge, and I'm grateful for being able to teach in the young women. We had a lesson last week on the plan of salvation and the atonement, and that was a good reminder for me of how important the gospel is, and just how blessed we are to have the gospel in our lives. So many people do not have the knowledge that we have of the Savior and of the purpose of this life and the purpose of the next life. And we have that. And I have an acquaintance who's become a friend whose father passed away suddenly the week after she lost her baby in the fifth month of pregnancy. So it's been a really hard month for her, and she does not have the gospel in her life. She knows little bits about it. Her kids attend church, but she's not a member. And man, I'm so grateful for that knowledge, because it just gives a completely different meaning to this life and the next life. And we know that we will be with our loved ones again after they leave this life. And that's very reassuring. Such an important thing that we share the gospel with people. My niece is serving her mission in the Orem mission. She's from Georgia. She actually was in the mission where the Buman girls served, which was so fun because they know the Bumans. But she's had so many experiences in her mission already. She's only been out for a month. And she's had an opportunity to share the experiences that she had before she served her mission with. She had leukemia and almost died and survived. And then a week after she found out she had leukemia, her sister passed away. So she's experienced the struggles of being sick and having someone pass away in your life. And she's met people who have had the exact same experience that she had in both situations, and was able to share her testimony and share how she was angry with God for the things that happened to her, but how eventually she came to understand the purpose of it all, and now she's serving a mission and really sees how her experiences have been able to help other people's lives and bring them back into the gospel after being inactive for many years because they were angry with God. So the gospel, it's amazing. We are so blessed to have it in our lives, and I have such a strong testimony of the gospel. I love my Savior, and I'm so grateful for His example in my life, and I'm grateful for my husband and his example and the good priesthood holder that he is and the good example he is to our family. And I'm grateful for my daughter and the example that she sets for her family, and my oldest granddaughter, because she sets the example for all the other grandchildren in our family. I'm so proud of her, and I'm thankful to be in this ward. I thank you all for your examples in my life, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Dixie Clifford, and I'm pleased to be here today. I have been pondering over the past while if it is possible that life sequences can be scripted spiritually in heaven. And I've just about decided that it can. In late summer, the prophet, Russell M. Nelson, wrote a letter to the women of the church, inviting them, among other things, to reread the Book of Mormon before the holidays ended, to try to redefine themselves and find where they belong in this great plan of life and what their purpose is, but more than that, to refine their relationship with the Savior. I got a late start on that because my husband wasn't very well, and I was missing a lot of meetings, but the minute I heard about it, I started early in the morning reading 30 to 40 minutes a day so that in 90 days I could finish. In August, it was our 62nd anniversary, and it just seemed so special for some reason. My birthday in September was the same way. It just seemed like a very, very special day. But is it possible that in late September, I received a prompting that something was some mighty change was going to come in our lives. I didn't know what it would be. I didn't know when or how, but I was given that knowledge. The fall was very special. We went back to paradise, to my hometown, to the log house, and enjoyed a weekend there. Thanksgiving, the family came, and we had a portrait made of them and all of us. And foolish me, I had planned in September for our three big dinner parties we do every year. But for some reason, I planned them early. I planned them by the 6th for the empty nesters, the 10th for our hospital group that we served with, and the 11th for American Mothers, which I'm a part of. Then, on December 14th, I heard my husband calling me from downstairs, and he had had a massive heart attack. David Wise came and helped us, and so did Karen Hamilton. The EMTs took him over to Timpanogos Hospital, and the doctor shook his head and said, "It's not going to be a good thing. He's going to go." Through that day, our family gathered with calmness, and we felt this sweetness and tenderness that I can hardly share. I think it was scripted in heaven. A few days later, as I knelt to pray in the morning, I said, "Heavenly Father," and I almost audibly heard him say, "Yes, what do you need?" The days passed, and I had this warm glow in my heart, and the truth was verified to me that it was scripted, that he, a tender mercy, I had seen a miracle, that he was going to be, not have to endure any more of the pains of aging. The priesthood's brethren asked me what I would like, if there's anything they could do for me, and I said, "Yes, I want my house blessed. I want to feel peace and comfort when I'm here." I now spend long days there with a happy heart and go to bed at night and don't worry about the noises I used to hear or the sounds in the night. I've been wrapped in and surrounded by the love of my family and my friends and my neighbors and you, my brothers and sisters. Should we listen to a prophet's voice? Yes, because I feel that admonition in late summer was maybe made especially for me. Is it possible? Yes, with the love of God, the tender mercies of the Savior, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, all things are possible. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi, my name is Rachel DeVore, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who has had Dixie Clifford as a hero of mine for a long time. We love you, Dixie. Thank you. I just wanted to share a little bit about how the Come Follow Me program has influenced our family, and just bear testimony of that. It's just been such a blessing and has really deepened the spirituality in our home and made it a lot more accessible. I just feel like the fact that it's been called home-centered and church-supported, we've really seen that in our home. I feel like the age-old question on Sundays at the dinner table is, "So, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" And kids always say, "I don't know." At least I know that's how it was in my family. Our kids are little. Our oldest is 3, but we always try to say, "Oh, what did you talk about in nursery today?" or "What did you learn?" And I've never gotten an answer. But last week, we had been talking about what it means to be a peacemaker in our home for a week. And so when Wes went to primary and came back, he, without us even asking, said, "Mom, Dad, I learned about being a peacemaker in primary." And it was just so amazing to me that such a simple switch of, instead of trying really hard to figure out what they learned about in Sunday school and then reinforce it, we could reinforce it before they went to Sunday school, and it could be reinforced there. Or we could teach it before they went to Sunday school, and it could be reinforced there. And it was just it seems like such an obvious switch now that it's happened, but so powerful. But I also just appreciate the opportunity that somehow Come Follow Me. To me, it seems to me that it gives us a new chance all the time, that there's a new lesson every week, a new thing to study. Every day I can start again and try to teach the gospel in my home a little bit more. Somehow it just gives me the boost to keep going, keep trying again. And I've been really grateful for that. And I just wanted to share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Jay Cranmer. And I'm not sure how many of you know that my wife Colleen has been in the hospital for surgery. Went in Monday, and we were able to bring her home Friday, and they removed her right kidney. And she's doing well, and she wanted to send her love and appreciation to you for everything that you've done for us while she's been there. I wanted to share a couple of experiences that we had in the hospital. I was reading to her one afternoon, and a lady appeared in the doorway, and she just stood there and looked at us and smiled. She had a special look about her, but she didn't say anything for a while. She just stood there and smiled. And then she said, "I feel a special spirit in this room. It drew me into this room." And she says, "May I come in?" And so we invited her in. And she says, maybe you don't know it, but there are spirits all around you at this time. And I think they're your deceased relatives that have come to visit." Then she introduced herself. She was the chaplain there at Timpanogos Hospital. We had a really nice visit with her. Then she offered a prayer and started to leave, and she just couldn't leave. She just stood there in the doorway and smiled. And I almost got up when she left to go to see if she was really there or not. But sweet, sweet lady. And then we were privileged to have our one and only daughter-in-law, who is divorced from my son, visit us. It was like a family reunion, like we'd never been parted. We hadn't seen her in probably 10 years. But we had a marvelous reunion with her. Lots of loves and kisses and tears. And then after she left, she came back later and brought our youngest grandson, who is, I guess, 20 now, with her. And we just sat there and chatted and felt the love that was there. And after they left, Colleen says, "I know I'm in the right place." So I want to again thank you for everything that your thoughts and prayers and everything that you've done for us. And I say this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Stanny of Brennan. So good to be with you again. It's been a while. I really hadn't intended bearing my testimony today, but the Spirit has been so sweet, and I've enjoyed the testimonies that we've heard. It's wonderful because they're all filled with love and gratitude. So grateful for my Heavenly Father and to be with you wonderful people again. On November 30th, I went to visit a grandson, and he was remodeling a home and getting ready to be married in January. And he's such a fun young man. And so as I was getting ready to leave his home, I don't know what happened. I found myself with my feet out the front door on cement, and I was sitting inside the house. And I looked at my grandson, Emerson, and I said, "What in the world has happened?" And he said, "Grandma, I couldn't tell you what happened. I was wondering what was going on." And I looked down, and I could see my toes were not lined up with my leg. And I said, "Oh, Emerson, I think I've broken my ankle." Now, for the last couple of years, I've worn one of these alerts. And I laughed, and I said, "You know, Emerson, I've never had a need to use this alert, but I could use it today, excepting you are alert." So we had to laugh. Anyway, I said, "We have a choice of either going to the phoning the paramedics or you take me to the hospital." He's a husky, young, tall fellow, and he picked me right up, put me in my car, and drove me to Timpanogos Hospital. In the meantime, I phoned my daughter, and it was after 5 o'clock, so she was, for some reason, had her son, married son, in the car, and they met us at the hospital. And these two grandsons gave me the sweetest blessing. Little did I know what was ahead, but yes, I had broken my ankle, two bones, and I was going to have surgery the next week. And so Emerson, they were with me until 11 o'clock that night, and they brought me home. Both cars came, and Emerson picked me up, took me up the 6 steps into the house, and then up the steps to the bedroom. He came 2 or 3 times, getting me up and down steps, carrying me through the hospital, and he was just wonderful. I said, "Well, it's a good thing, because I'm getting you ready to pick your wife up and carry her over the threshold." He was really in good condition to do that. I was so grateful for my family. Now, I have Katrina in the basement. She needs pretty definite care. I'm her caregiver, and I'm up on the second floor. And my oldest daughter closed her house. She lives in Spanish Fork. She works at BYU, and she moved in, and she took good care of me. She had a plane ticket to go visit her son and family back east for Christmas. Well, that went away. But to make a long story short, how the Lord is so mindful of us. I had wonderful sisters that came and visited me, because when Diana had to go back to work, she said, "Mom, you're here all this day. You can't get anywhere. You can't check on Katrin in the basement. Can't I please have someone come during the day and just see that you're okay and make sure you have something to eat and check on Katrin?" I said, "Well, how is that going to be me to phone up my sister friends and say, like I did one day with Claudia, kind of a joke, 'Claudia, would you come and visit me and bring me lunch?'" And I said, "I can't do that." But anyway, I had the best sisters come and visit with me, and they were so gracious, and it was wonderful. And I can't tell you about my grandchildren. I would never have seen them. I have a lot of them going to BYU, quite a few of them are married. I can't believe the hours they spent. They'd come and spend 4 and 5 hours with me at a time. And my oldest daughter had a schedule. My goodness, they were there. I haven't seen them since. But I'm so grateful. I guess they've given me 2 or 3 years visits. But it was just wonderful. And I'm so thrilled with my family. My daughter and her husband drove up from California to spend 4 days to take care of me. We had the best time. Well, if you can have a best time sitting in a chair all day, and then the nighttime you go and lay in bed all night. I mean, it was interesting. But the Lord did bless me, and he gave me time to read. I'm not a reader, but I read the church history book we're supposed to read. I got the Book of Mormon read like we're supposed to read. I read several other books and tried to keep up on what we'd be doing in church. And so far, I'm doing really well. I'm not don't have my crutch today or my cane or whatever it is. I'm doing well. I just wanted you to know how much I love you. The love in this ward is wonderful. I was happy that I could assist a little bit with George's funeral yesterday. Sister Stokes is such a sweet person, and Linda Murdoch and I are her visiting teachers, ministering angels, whatever we are, and we love her. And we'll try to watch over and bless her. It's been an interesting time to sit in my chair, my recliner, all these weeks, and think about you wonderful people. The priests have been so good to bring the sacrament. I just love you. And I love the Lord, and I'm so grateful for Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost and the power of the priesthood. We are such blessed people. We can't forget that. I pray every day I will not lose my testimony. There's a lot going on, and Satan would love to destroy the gospel plan, and we're not going to let him do it. The Lord will bless us. He does bless us. I'm so grateful for my testimony, so grateful for the gospel, and so grateful for you wonderful people. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes when I come up here on Fast and Testimony meeting days, I worry about not having a lot of experiences to share. I'm not a very good journal keeper, and so sometimes I get here and I'm like, you know, I have all these wonderful things that happened during my day, but I can't remember any of them. And so when I get up here, I just think to myself, you know, I think the most important thing is just that, just the testimony of our Savior, and that's all I want to share today. I know that he lives. I'm grateful for that knowledge. I'm grateful to have the influence and guiding power of the priesthood in my life. I'm ever grateful for the Book of Mormon as a testament of the Savior. My wife and I have been trying our best to read the Book of Mormon consecutive times in 1 year. And that experience has been a huge blessing for both of us. And I know that the Lord reflects his love in our efforts to serve those around us and to help lift and inspire. I know that the Lord is infinitely and intimately involved in the details of our life. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I sure didn't really want to come up here, but the Spirit was prompting me and my heart was pounding and I thought, dang it. But here I am. Sitting back there just feeling so thankful, getting emotional, which is another reason I didn't want to come up, but so grateful for the powerful examples around me and in our ward family, both young and not as young. Those of you who are new are really in for a treat being in this ward family. The great examples and powerful influence of those around us if we're willing to let them influence our lives. I am so thankful for our Savior, for our Father in heaven, and it is truly an example of his love, or a testimony, a witness of his love that I feel for me personally, that I'm surrounded by all of you and the great people and strength that I feel from you. I do have a testimony of the truthfulness of this gospel, Jesus Christ's gospel, and Jesus Christ's atonement, and his great patience and love that are so available and always there for us. I'm thankful for a living prophet who's and apostles and other church leaders who whose guidance helps me feel so safe in this changing and world as we are truly living in the last days. I'm so thankful to have to be able to follow a prophet and have a prophet. And I love him, and I love our Savior. Testify of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank all those that shared their testimony with us today. We'd also like to thank Brother Grapes and Sister Holland for helping with our music during this meeting. We will conclude by singing hymn number 259, Hope of Israel, after which we have asked Sister Diane Butler to give the closing prayer. We'd also like to remind everyone here that we have the responsibility, I believe, through the month of September, certainly August, of closing down this building. And so we invite you all to help us in picking up in the chapel as we leave, and taking down chairs at about 3:25, and emptying trash cans and things of that nature. But please help us in fulfilling this opportunity that we have to serve the stake and utilize this building.
Our kind Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this opportunity we've had to be here at church today to feel thy love and thy spirit and thy peace. We pray, Heavenly Father, thy blessings will attend us this week as we take these feelings and things we've learned today home with us, that we may become the people that thou would have us be, that we will keep striving to follow thee in all that we do. And we say, help us to reach out to others around us and bless their lives as well. And again, we thank thee for all thou givest us and for all the blessings in our lives. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.